It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. This show is about kidney disease. So if you have diabetes or heart disease or hypertension, you want to pay close attention to what we're talking about today. Kidney disease represents a huge and growing healthcare burden, and it costs about $42 billion, billion with a B, dollars per year in Medicare expenses alone. And because the most common causes are diabetes, heart disease, and hypertension, all of which are increasing with the aging of the population, this disease is a major public health issue among those of us 60 and older. It also represents a diagnostic challenge since there are typically no symptoms in the very early stages, and 48% of people who have stage 4 chronic kidney disease are unaware they have the disease. That's how silent it is. So kidney disease can lead to kidney failure and contributes to about 89,000 deaths a year in the country. My guest is renowned international nephrologist who's a kidney doctor. I had to look up the pronunciation. Dr. Herman Haller. He is also president of the MDI Biological Laboratory. If you're a regular listener, you know of these people. They're doing extraordinary things down in Bar Harbor, internationally extraordinary things. MDIBL.org if you want to know more about that. Dr. Haller received his medical degree from the Free University of Berlin and completed his postdoctoral work at Yale University. He's published more than 700 peer-reviewed articles, holds 6 worldwide patents, and has founded 4 biotech companies. There's much more. It's a short show. Thank you for being here. I am so, so delighted that you drove up from Bar Harbor to be here with me. Boy, kidney disease is just taking out the country. So why do you think there's such a prevalence of it now, or has it always been that way, but people are just studying it more?
Well, first of all, and you already mentioned it, kidney disease is silent. The heart, you have pain. In the kidneys, when they fail, they do it quietly. They're working all the time. You know, it's not that they're only filtering urine, they're making urine, so they are contributing to the homeostasis of the body. So what we excrete and what we keep, this is what the kidneys are doing. So they work hard, but they're damaged by hypertension. When you have high blood pressure, these tiny structures in the kidney are damaged. When you have diabetes, you have chronic changes in the kidney. So these two risk factors and heart disease in addition, they make the kidneys sick. And since they have no pain, we only realize this at a stage when it's almost too late for treatment.
How would someone know that they have chronic kidney disease? Is it a random test at their doctor? They just wake up one day and realize they have this?
Yeah, could be. But very importantly, they can ask their doctor that the doctor looks for protein in the urine, because normally we do not have any proteins in the urine. But the first sign that something is wrong with your kidneys is a very easy test. You just have a stick and you test your urine whether there is protein in it. In addition to that, you can measure at later stages a substance called creatinine, which is normally excreted by the kidney, but when you have kidney failure, it goes up. So even minute changes there are important. So serum creatinine and proteinuria, protein in the urine, these are important diagnostic tools.
So, do you have to go to a doctor for this, or can you buy like a home kidney test?
You can do for the dipstick.
Yeah.
You can do this at home. But if you have diabetes, you should see a doctor at least once per year, and the doctor should check for your kidneys.
Okay. But only once a year?
Yes.
All right. So, if the doctor tests once a year and sees that you're starting to have kidney disease, can you arrest that? Can you stop the kidney disease from progressing?
Well, first of all, we treat the risk factors very aggressively. So when you develop kidney disease and you're diabetic, your diabetes has to be very well controlled. The same is true for blood pressure. So we can use specific drugs which will diminish the rate of kidney failure. Recently, there has been a new drug, a new diabetic drug, and we have the first indication that this drug and the drugs are called SGLT2, complicated drugs, inhibitors, that they will actually slow down the progression much better. So these are new therapeutic strategies, and we are involved in clinical trials and in basic research. That's what we do at MD-IBL, to understand how these novel drugs work.
Does someone have to have an underlying condition, kidney disease, heart disease, hypertension, heart disease, hypertension, or
diabetes?
Diabetes, thank you. I'm all freaked out about this kidney disease. Do they have to have that in order to have kidney disease, or can the kidneys just start to decline on their own without something underlying?
Yes, there are causes of kidney failure which are not associated with diabetes and hypertension. However, because diabetes and hypertension is so prevalent, they are the major risk factors. All the other diseases are more rare, so when you go and see your doctor regularly, it will show at some point using the diagnostic criteria we have just mentioned.
Do you recommend that everyone, when they have their annual physicals and they have their annual blood work, that they request a urine test?
Yes.
See, that's a good idea. Are there new treatments on the horizon? I know the MDI BioLab is, again, doing extraordinary things in the world of research and regeneration of, we were talking before, of organoids. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's important to realize that kidney doctors have been the first to replace organ function by dialysis. And you can see, when you look at the money which is spent for dialysis, that we have a high number of patients with chronic kidney disease on dialysis. Now, in order to replace dialysis, we try to make new kidneys at Mount Desert Biological Laboratory. It's not only us. There is a national initiative. The NIH has started a program called Rebuilding a Kidney, which brings together all groups working on that. It's like the Apollo program for making a new kidney. And we work at MDIBL with these organoids. And you asked me what organoids are. Organoids are made from stem cells. And these stem cells are taken from patients. So we can make actually organoids from a specific patient. So it's your organoid. It's not anybody's organoid. It's your own organoid we are generating, and we are trying to make kidneys out of that.
So you take a person's stem cells and you basically build them a new kidney.
Well, actually, it's even more complicated. We take cells from a person and we change them into individualized stem cells, miracle. And then we make out of these stem cells the organoid and then the kidney.
It's just amazing. But when you think about the actual burden of the healthcare cost, the federal government spends more on kidney dialysis than they do on NASA, the Department of Energy, or the National Institutes of Health. So it's no wonder this research is incredibly popular. And kudos to MDI BioLab for leading the way. And you were saying before the show that you've been working on this, on kidney research, for how many years?
Well, the Mount Desert Biological Laboratory has been the cradle of kidney research for 100 years. Imagine on the coast of Maine, there is this small laboratory where famous researchers and kidney doctors have been working, mostly during the summer, but also now year-round, unraveling the mystery of the kidney, and they have contributed in a major way to our understanding of the kidney. And internationally, this is well recognized. Famous heroes of kidney research have been working in Bar Harbor.
What type of impact has this research had over the last 100 years?
Well, most of the diagnostic tools have been in one way or the other influenced by the research at MDIBL. Internationally, the main function test, which is called glomerular filtration rate, this term has been coined at MDIBL in Bar Harbor.
That is truly amazing. How long will it be before you actually can pop these kidneys into somebody that you're growing for them?
There are several problems. We first have to differentiate these stem cells into these 26 different cell types in the kidney. And we are pretty good with that. We can actually induce and form already tiny kidneys. Now, the major problem for my research and worldwide is to vascularize these kidneys. And I'll come back to this in a minute.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about this. So stay with us. There is lots more to come about kidney disease. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, fascinating information about kidney disease. Right before the break, you were talking about vascularization of the kidney. So you've got cells in a dish, and then what do you do?
Yeah, we have to bring blood vessels into this lump of cells. And that's important. You know, it's like the touch of God, that blood is coming into this tissue we are generating. And this is what we're working on besides other topics at MDIBL at the moment. Once we have solved that, then we think that these bunch of cells will produce more urine and start working.
Because you have cells in a dish and so you'd have to get blood into them to help them become more...
An organ.
An organ.
Yes.
But in a person, you would just hook them up to the blood vessels.
Yeah, but then you have to have blood vessels in the organ so that you can hook this up. It's like transplanting a kidney, but we are not transplanting a kidney from a donor. We are transplanting a kidney which we have generated in the laboratory.
And there are no blood vessels in that kidney currently, so you're trying to...
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Gotcha. So I want to circle back to about the reason this is so critical, too, and what the kidneys do, because I had no idea. The things that you're saying are mind-blowing. But during the break, you said that 100 liters... And for those of you who are not familiar with the metric system, as we're the only ones in the world, I think, who don't, that's about a quart.
Yeah.
So 100 liters a day of fluid?
In brief, when we came out millions of years ago out from the sea, the kidneys were responsible to keep the water in us. And because there are lots of substances, salt, but also other substances, the kidney has to make a decision what we excrete and what we keep. So the way the kidney do this, they make 100 liter of primary urine, and then it runs through tiny channels through the kidney, and the kidney reabsorb almost 98%. So we are only, peeing 1.5 liters a day. The rest is reabsorbed. That's a lot of work. And this is what the kidney needs, a lot of energy, almost as much as the brain and the heart, in order to do that. They do this quietly, but this is why they are so important, and this is why we have to replace them once they stop functioning.
Are there things that you can do to keep those kidneys healthy, like reduce your salt? And I'm talking aside from keeping your diabetes under control and your blood pressure normal, but, for instance, too much salt. What about sugar? Should you drink a lot of water? What about diet soda, which is my personal thing that I cannot stay away from?
Well, you have to drink more or less regularly. This is especially important for elderly people because we tend to forget to drink. So you have you should have a normal intake of 1.5 2 liters per day, which is actually for elderly people a lot to drink.
That's like 6 cups, right?
Yes, yeah. That's what your kidneys need in order to function properly.
Okay. What about caffeine? Does that count?
Big discussion. Coffee, I believe, but perhaps I'm prejudiced here. Coffee is good for your kidneys.
I think it's good for everything. But so you drink 6 cups of water a day because it really helps the kidneys.
They need something to work with. If you don't provide water or fluids for the kidneys have nothing to work and they concentrate. And so you have to have a regular perfusion of your kidneys.
Now, where does wine fall in on the spectrum of fluid?
Well, since it is a lot of fluid you need, wine should and can be a small quantity of that.
That'll count as one of your cups. So if someone does that, do you think that would help prevent them? If they're keeping their fluid intake up of good fluids, can that help prevent having some kidney disease if the kidneys aren't working that hard? And I know that it helps prevent urinary tract infections in seniors who don't drink enough water and are chronic for getting UTIs.
Yes, so you have less kidney stones, you have less urinary tract infection, and yes, the kidneys, they work regularly, and this makes them less prone for the development of chronic kidney disease.
So the takeaway, drink at least 6 cups of water a day, have a urine test, talk to your doctor, get your sugar, blood pressure under control, and if you have heart disease, talk to your doctor regularly. And for more information, too, log on to mdibl.org. So there are other groups that are working on this as well. Tell me who else you are
Here in the state of Maine, there is a group in Portland, Leif Augsburg, and they are also working with organoids, and we are collaborating. In Boston at Harvard, they have a very strong group, and we are lucky that we are recruiting one of the major research groups from Harvard to the state of Maine, to MDIBL, so that we can form a very excellent group for rebuilding a kidney.
Do you think... there's the music. When we come back, we'll talk about... you said maybe 10 years out. We'll talk about how if that may actually happen, and also new medications, how we're going to treat some of this before someone ends up on dialysis. More to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Senior Talk. Hey, we're back with Dr. Haller, Senior Talk. So if someone has, let's say they're starting kidney disease, you've got new medications on the horizon along with this kidney that you're building once you can get the blood vessels in there. What are some of the new medications and when will they be available?
Well, we are also researching on new drugs for the more rare causes of kidney disease. There are inflammatory disorders. There are also genetic disorders. In some families, you have polycystic kidney disease. And we are finding new treatments also for these rare forms. So we have a new compound, an anti-inflammatory compound, which we can use, which prevents the kidneys in these genetic forms, polycystic kidney disease, to fail.
When do you think those drugs would be in the market?
Well, for the treatment of these genetic forms, we are trying at the moment clinical studies. So this will be in 2, 3, 4 years. For the new kidneys, the organoids, and once we have the blood vessels in there, I would assume something like 10 years, 15 years at most, because of all the efforts going into this adventurous research program. As I said before, it's like the Apollo program. You bring together the brightest minds, and you need some money for that. And eventually, I think we'll be successful and hopefully the first on the planet.
That is incredibly good news for the people who are living on dialysis. If you're, how bad are your kidneys completely gone when you hit dialysis?
Yes, unfortunately. There is no way at the moment we can regenerate the kidneys. Years ago, when I started at Mount Desert Biological Laboratory, we did research in sharks. In sharks, actually, fish, they can regenerate their own kidneys. But unfortunately, humans can't do this. So we have only one choice. Once the kidneys have failed and you are on dialysis, we have to make new kidneys. Either we replace them by dialysis or we transplant. I'm in Germany responsible for the largest transplant program in Germany. But the best way would be, this is what we are doing, to generate a new kidney and replace the old ones.
If someone's starting on kidney disease, they do get their urine test and they're seeing some problems. Can they arrest that by maybe diet change or doing other things? Can you come back from that?
Yeah, you can. When you use the newer medications, you can really not stop it completely, but then it takes much longer. And it makes a hell of a difference whether you go on dialysis after 5 years or after 15 years. So we have now newer medications, newer anti-diabetic medications, and they work well on the kidney, also on the heart. And we are presently trying to understand the mechanism of these new medications. They are called SGLT2 inhibitors. They are novel, fascinating drugs, and we are finding new mechanisms of kidney disease by investigating these novel drugs.
So you can arrest the kidney disease, but kidneys cannot regenerate themselves. Like if you have a cut, your skin will regenerate. Kidneys don't do that. They won't go back to 100% normal.
Yes. Is one of the big mysteries. We are also working on that at MDIBL because we also have a strong aging research group. And aging, as you know, when you're a kid, you regenerate much better. When you get older, even the skin, which is very good at regeneration, does not regenerate well. So we try to understand the balance between aging and regeneration.
It's just fascinating to me. We've got about a minute left. Is there anything you want to add about what's happening at MDI Biolab?
Yeah. Well, I've said that we are 100 years old. We are changing at the moment. I'm now the new director for a year. We bring in a lot of international people into the state of Maine and to MDIBL to make this an academic center for excellent research, not only for Maine, but also for the U.S. and internationally.
And the website is mdibl.org. You can learn so much about what's happening down in Bar Harbor. Extremely impressive. Dr. Howler, thank you so much for being here. It's been a great show, and you've given a lot of really good information to people who I'm sure would need it. If you'd like to hear this show again, you can log on to wvomfm.com and listen to it in podcast form. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.